Hello, and welcome to the ScrapGov Scrap podcast. I guess I'll start with our disclaimer. It's pretty much the same as our DD&D disclaimer. And basically, this podcast may be very controversial. Actually, it will be. This podcast is our personal opinions, our views, and our beliefs. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Sorry, I lost my place. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Mostly because the courts do not accept hearsay evidence. I mean, they will, but the law says they cannot. let's see here. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence, and therefore you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical, de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s, or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government. Basically, just don't subscribe to the de facto government and start enforcing and reinforcing the de jure government the way it's supposed to be. So, we do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty. You're not a citizen, you're a sovereign. Your freedom, your liberties, and those freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. Because teamwork makes the dream work. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this one's mostly for our DD&D podcast, but nonetheless. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicine. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and or experience. Most of them are not accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor, nor will your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and or other animals. We are not man animals. As described in the FDA state and federal regulations, under U.S. Code 15, Chapter 2, Subchapter 1, Subsection 55, B and D, and U.S. Code 21, Chapter 9, Subchapter 2, Subsection 321F, and so forth, this podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us. That last part kind of sounds weird because it's like, what are they smoking? Well, the FDA classifies you as a man or other animal. And last time I checked, we're not animals. Last time you checked, you're probably not an animal too. So, but the government classifies you as one. So, yeah, you might want to go and do some homework on rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, and see what else the government classifies you as. Because they definitely class you as beneath them when they're supposed to be the public servants, and they're supposed to be reporting to us, not the other way around. But somewhere along the line, we've had this exchange of power where now the power doesn't belong to the people anymore. The government has basically taken it away from us. The people, we the people, are the de jure government. What we have now is a de facto government. The New World Order is a de facto government. So, you can find all this stuff at scrapgovscrap.us. Lenny Ladner is going to, or supposed to be, redirecting the .com to me so that I can host it. But until then, it's going to be hosted at .us. scrapgovscrap.us. This is a new podcast. This is actually officially our second podcast. And it's a spinoff of our DD&D podcast because it tends to be more political. Because we study this stuff. I mean, we don't study it as much as, say, Lenny does, because we're not politicians. Of course, neither is Lenny, but Lenny studies the more political side of the deal, and he stays more in touch with current events. David Ray and I are pretty much three percenters, and we study the legalese. Mostly David does, and, how to talk to these communists, because they like to play word games with us. For example, when you go to court, never understand anything, because understand does not mean understand, it means stand under. So when they say, do you understand the charges that are being brought against you, they're asking you, not do you understand, not do you comprehend. They're asking you, do you stand under? Do you agree to the charges that are being brought against you? So whether you plead guilty or not guilty, you're automatically pleading guilty by saying you understand the charges. And you don't even know it. It's entrapment, really. That's what it is. So there's a lot of that in the legal system. And quite frankly, it's difficult to learn it all. And most people ain't got the time because they're busy, working, supporting their family, trying to keep their heads above water while the government is trying to steal them blind and criminalize the innocent. And David Ray just sent me a question mark. Podcast 10 minutes ago. I'm on now. If you wish to join us. I don't know if you can hear that music, but I'll continue after it's done. Now, this podcast was mostly put together for Lenny, because, I don't know, it's kind of a complicated deal. I don't know if David or Lenny is really going to be here all that much. And quite frankly, I don't know if I'll remember to be here all the time either. We may change the times. We may change the dates. Who knows when it's going to be in the future. But, like I said, this is the second podcast. You can find updates at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons & Dragons. This sounds like a gaming podcast, but it's really not. I mean, we do talk about games because we do play some games. And because of the name, I tried to kind of turn it into one, because originally we were talking about things like this. And it just kind of died out. So, Demented Dungeons and Dragons kind of was a joke. Okay. Wait for this music to stop, because David just sent me another text. Okay, so, the name Demented Dungeons & Dragons started as a joke, because we were naming our farm DD&D, short for David, David, and David, because David Irish. We bought the land in Stockton, or we're buying the land in Stockton, because mostly David Irish. He and his wife were planning to retire in Stockton. And so we bought land there because of them. And now they may or may not be joining us. So now it's just D&D, but we started out with the name DD&D for David, David, and David. David Irish, David Ray, and myself, David Michael Kano Doherty. People call me Kano for short. So, because there's too many Davids running around. So, David Irish joked that DD&D was Demented Dungeons & Dragons. Well, David Ray had been talking about doing a podcast for a long time. Of course, so did one of my ex-girlfriends. And so, yeah, but we just never got one started up until a couple years ago. And we just decided to name it Demented Dungeons & Dragons. So we talk about a lot of things there. You might be interested in listening to it as well, because we talk about everything, pretty much. And if you want to talk about anything and everything, whatever, you can call in to that podcast. But this podcast is going to try to be mostly political or freedom fighter oriented, 3%er oriented, survivalist oriented, prepper oriented, things of that nature. You know, we the people oriented. So I'm going to try to get more callers, people that are interested in these type of subjects. Ron Paul will probably never call in, but we will be doing his weekly updates. Basically, you can get his weekly update at 888-322-1414. Again, that's 888-322-1414. He used to post updates on Mondays, and so that's why I picked Monday for the podcast, but now he's doing it Sunday. So we could move our podcast to Sunday, which would probably be better. But who knows? We'll see. Like I say, you'll find updates at scrap.gov/scrap.us, and maybe eventually .com. Anyhow, so yeah, I mean, if you want to give your political campaign, if you're running for Congress or Senate or governor or something like that, and you want to call in and do a podcast to promote you and advertise it, hey, we're more than happy. As long as you're a freedom fighter, as long as you're a 3%er, as long as you're for the people, by the people, we'll support you, we'll promote you. And then, you know, we'll host the podcast and, you know, we'll put it on our server, and you can share it wherever you may, you know, whatever you wish, you know. then that way you don't have to tie up your server. You could just put the link, from our server onto your server if you wish, whatever. Put it on Facebook, put it on MySpace. MySpace, what's that? Yeah, MySpace is still out there. In fact, I need to do some more homework on MySpace. They turned it into a MySpace Music, but I just looked at it again today because somebody said something about MySpace on the radio on the FM, and I was like, I ain't been there in a while. I should go check it out, see what's up. And it kind of looks more like a YouTube, which is awesome if it is, because YouTube sucks only because Google bought them out, and Google's part of the New World Order, and they're enforcing their agenda. But YouTube was freaking awesome until about 5 years ago when Google bought them. I was with YouTube for 10 years, 5 years prior to Google owning them. And ever since Google bought them, I've had nothing but problems. And then they changed all the rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines here recently and shut down my account because I had too much Freedom Fighter stuff on there. And I have a friend who wrote a book called The Rise and Fall of Freedom in America. And I had his video on my YouTube account promoting him and his book. And they shut me, their excuse, their reason for shutting me down was copyright infringement because I was advertising my friend's book. That was their loophole to get me shut down. But yeah, they didn't want me on there because I had too much anti-New World Order stuff on my website. And I also was teaching people how to forage and for wild edibles and free food and medicine, which is another thing you should check out, freefoodandmedicine.com. Unless you want to give me credit, then go to freefoodandmedicine.net and I'll get a commission. But yes, if you are a survivalist, you need to buy this book, Free Food and Medicine book. Watch this guy's videos. Marcus Rothkranz, he's got a lot of useful information. He's one of the main vegans that I follow, but he's not your normal vegan. He's a wild forager, and he educates people on free food and medicine, and he's kind of coined that phrase. And I've kind of, I'm riding on his coattail, if you will, because I like the phrase. I love it, actually. That and the Gorilla Gardener guy in LA or Long Beach or somewhere in that area. One of his phrases is, growing your own food is like printing your own money. And of course, Monsanto and the government doesn't like that. But, they're the biggest counterfeiter. Well, the government's the biggest counterfeiters in the world. But nonetheless, we should be growing our own food. We should be growing our own medicines. We should be getting away from big pharma and big agriculture. And we should be growing our own food and network with our neighbors, and because we can't grow everything, but our neighbors can grow things that we can't grow, and so on and so forth. For example, I'm not really that good at growing tomatoes, but one of my exes was really good at growing tomatoes. That was like her passion. So it's like, and David's really good at growing potatoes. I'm not so good at growing potatoes either. I mean, I could maybe if I practiced a little bit more. But me, I'm more of a low maintenance thing person. I like to grow things that are low maintenance because I'm busy. I'm, busy doing other things. And like a lot of people, I'm just busy trying to keep my head above water. because of all these taxes and rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, and child support, you know, all these things. And I'm just so work, trying to keep my head above water. It's like a lot of people. So I try to grow low-maintenance things, where other people, they love to garden, and they love to do all these other things, you know, and they have that green touch, if you will. I'm more of an animal whisperer, you know, it's like the cats and the goats, and maybe not so much the pigs, but, you know, cows, animals love me. I'm great with animals. I don't necessarily love all of them, but they all seem to love me for some reason. So I'm more of an animal guy. Ideally, I would raise livestock. And I grow some stuff, but mostly medicines. That's more my alley, medicine. You know, weeds. Weeds are medicine. But the government doesn't want you to know these things. And so it's our job to get these things out there to the public and let them know, hey, you don't have to rely on big pharma. You don't have to rely on communist care to provide you with insurance and all this medical garbage that you really don't need. Some of it maybe, but most of it you don't need. Most of it actually does more damage than it does good. So why do you want it? You know, it's crazy. But anyways, I've already gotten off my train of thought, but I've derailed myself. But yeah, this podcast is basically about things that is contributing to your freedom, your liberty. And really, our Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast is about the same things. It's just a little more liberal podcast, if you will. This is going to try to be more conservative, if you will, about sticking to subjects like freedom and liberty. The other podcast, we talk more about religion, although my friend David Ray believes the government is religion, and it can be. You know, Uncle Sam does want to be God. He wants to be our God. He. When I say he, Uncle Sam, I mean the collective communist criminals in office. They want us to bow down and worship them. So, you know, in a religious aspect, yeah, I mean, you know, now they're trying to put the prayer in the Bible, you know, religion back in school. Well, wait a minute. Why would the government, who's trying to control and brainwash and manipulate people, not our old government, the good government we used to have, but this new corrupt and evil government, why would they want to put religion back in school when they fought so hard to get rid of it? Well, if they can control the way people think and believe, then that's why they would want to put it back in there. I mean, all throughout history, one of the best ways to control people was through religion. Fear, you know, hate and fear. You know, it's like I'm not going to say that the homosexuals are going to go to heaven or not. I really don't know if they're going to go to hell or not. I really don't know. That's one, not my problem, because I'm not gay. But my religion says to love thy neighbor, you know. So, but a lot of these religions teach to hate the homosexual community, that they're going to hell and they're evil and all this other stuff. And they're brainwashed into thinking that these people are evil. And they're your brothers and sisters and your moms and your dads and your children. I seriously doubt they're evil. Are they on the right path or not? That's not for me to say. I'm not God. But nonetheless, religion uses, you know, religion is a great way to brainwash and manipulate people. So, of course, the government would want a part of that. I mean, look at the Catholic Church. They, you know, not today maybe, well, even today really, but not so much today as they did in the past. They were a government. They were a governing body, if you will. They controlled the masses. You know, the way people think, the way people lived, the way societies were dictated by religion. And they still are. I mean, look at the Muslims and the Jews. I mean, their entire country is governed around their religions. And so why would the government not want to be a part of that? So, yeah, I mean, that's basically what this podcast is going to be about, things of those natures. What is the government doing? What are they doing for us? What are they doing against us? Are they for the people and by the people, or are they for themselves? You know, it's like David Ray was saying on a previous podcast. I don't know if it was a Scrap podcast or it was a DD&D podcast. But he said the government does things to the detriment of the people. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I believe that the government does things to the benefit of the government and the people within the governing body, the people that want the power, the people that want the money, the people that want the rulership. Now, I admit that 99% of the time, it is to our detriment. Maybe not even that much. Let's just say 75% of the time, it's to our detriment. Let's give them a little bit of credit. Because, you know, they do things on our behalf. I mean, they do maintain the roads in some states. I know Missouri does really good at maintaining their roads. They're one of the few states that do a really good job on their roads. I mean, I hear people from other states bragging about how Missouri takes care of their roads. In fact, bikers, different bikers that I know, they specifically, when they go riding, they will come to Missouri to ride their bikes because Missouri's got good roads. So that's a tourist attraction right there. But so Missouri does do good by the people whenever it comes to their road taxes. Now, do they do 100% good by the people? I don't know, because I can't see their budget. I can't see how they're spending the money. But I can say that's one thing that they're doing either right or mostly right. So they do some stuff for the people, by the people. And I don't know if they are doing it because they want to, or if they're doing it because they feel like they have to in order to cover up for all the other stuff that they're doing. You know, it's like you can't screw the people over too much, otherwise the people will wake up. It's kind of like Obama. I know this is a weird subject. And everybody that I talk to about this just either thinks I'm nuts or they're baffled by the whole concept. Now, I'm not saying Obama was a great person. I didn't vote for him. I voted for Ron Paul. But at first, I thought, you know, Obama was halfway decent before he got in office. But I still voted for Ron Paul because he's my man. Oh, the back door is wide open. It's chilly outside. Anyway, today was a nice day, but it's still cold. So, I did not vote for Obama. At first, I thought maybe, you know, he was a decent guy. And then after he got in office, I thought otherwise. But then, long term, after watching and observing and analyzing everything, I got to thinking that maybe Obama wasn't half bad after all. I know. What am I smoking? But, think about it. Up until Obama, ever since Teddy Roosevelt, maybe a little bit before him. Was it Teddy? I don't remember. Anyways, around that time, since then, we've been getting the slow growth of government. Basically, what is this podcast about? Stopping, you know, the size, the cost, the extent of the reach, and the power of government. Scrap. Size, cost, reach, and power. Lenny's deal, when he was running for Congress and wanted me to run for Congress, our deal was, we're going to look at the bills, we're going to study the bills, and if the bills increase the size, the cost, extent, reach, and power of government, we will vote no for those reasons. And I encourage, and Lenny encouraged, people to do the same thing when you go to the voting booth and you have the option to vote for something, ask yourself, does this increase the size, the cost, extent, and reach of power of government? And if it does, vote no. If this person that's running for this office is wanting to increase the size, the cost, extent, and reach of power of government, then I'm going to vote no on that person. I don't care who they are. I don't care if I like their political views, if they're a Republican and I am too, or a Democrat and I am too, or whatever, poo-poo, because really Democrats and Republicans are all the same people. If their history is increasing the size, the cost, extending the reach and the power of government, we need to get rid of them. We've got too much government. We don't need any more. We need to go backwards. Reverse, rewind. We're out of control. And if we keep going in the direction we're going, we're going to have a revolution. It's going to be war. And do we really want another war in this country? It's probably inevitable. But no. The answer is no. We don't want a war. We're going to try to prevent that as much as possible. But, unfortunately, I'm afraid we don't have a choice. It's going to happen. But, back on point. So, up until Obama, we've had the slow increase in the size, the cost, extent, reach, and the power of government. Then Obama comes around. It's like, oh, boom. What's he do? He turns the heat up. All right. So, you know the old story. You know, if you want to boil a frog, you turn up the water smoothly. You turn up the water too fast, the frog's going to jump out. What did Obama do? He turned the heat up, and a lot of frogs jumped out of the pot. Okay, he woke up a lot of people. Did he do it on purpose? I don't know. But I think he did. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he's a Dunka. I don't know. But what he did do is he increased the size of the Kazakhstan reach and power government to the ninth degree. He turned the heat up and he woke up a lot of people. Whether he did it on purpose or not, it was a good thing. He used a bad thing to create a good thing. A lot more people are woken up now. And if Obama didn't run, Trump wouldn't be in office. We'd probably have Hillary Clinton, who's worse than Hitler. But anyways, maybe not worse than Hitler, but I'd say probably equivalent to Hitler, because they're both evil. But anyways, I'm not saying Trump is like the best thing for, you know, America, or what is it? I don't remember what people say about Trump. I'm not a big Trump fan, don't get me wrong. I think Trump's doing some good stuff. I hear a lot of people in my circle are Trump fans. Okay, let's put it that way. And so I hear a lot of good stuff about Trump, you know. What Trump is going to do, what Trump has done. And I don't know. I got to say, I'm impressed and surprised. Because I really did not vote for either one of them. I didn't vote for Trump or Hillary. I thought they were both evil. And I thought they were both idiots. I thought they were both losers when it comes to presidency. Trump is a good businessman. I studied Trump when it came to real estate, when I was studying real estate back in 2007. That's how I got my nickname, Kano Trump, because my former realtor started calling me that because I was Trump this, Trump that, Trump, 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 Trump. And so that was kind of like my online nickname up until he became president. Then it became a bad nickname, and I had to start changing my name because everybody's like, oh, you're a Trump fan. You're an idiot. And I'm not. Well, I might be an idiot. But I'm not really a Trump fan, except when it comes to real estate. Now, he still might be crooked there too, but, you know, the man got himself in debt, and he got himself out of debt, and he's a success. He's somebody worth studying, you know. And I studied him. I went to the Donald Trump seminars. I didn't spend any money there. Well, maybe I should have. But I learned stuff from Trump. I got most of his books. I've read, I think, all of them at least once. I've retained maybe 1% of them. But nonetheless, you know, he's smart. He's smart. I give him credit for a lot of stuff. But would he make a good president? I didn't think so. Now I'm starting to change my mind. I'm starting to become a Trump fan, but I'm not a Trump fan yet. Now, I like some of the things he says. I like some of the things he has said. Is he a loudmouth? Yeah. But he's always been that way. We already knew that. I mean, I remember when him and what's-her-face was at it, like, I don't know, a decade ago. What's her name? Damn. Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, I like her acting. Don't get me wrong. She's a good actress. But that's about it. When her and Trump were going head-to-head or toe-to-toe, whatever you want to call it, I was rooting for Trump. Sorry. And between Trump and Clinton, I'd have to vote for Trump. I didn't. But if I had to, if I was forced to vote, I would have picked Trump. like I said, he's coming around to, or I'm coming around to him. I think maybe he might actually turn out to be a decent president. Now, yeah, he still has to do what the puppet master's wanting to do to a degree. Otherwise, he's going to get assassinated, just like JFK did. Course, what was it? JFK and, damn it, I'm related to him. What's his name? Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln and JFK, what do they have in common? They both wanted to get away from borrowed money. They both wanted to create our own money. Now, I don't think the Federal Reserve was around during Lincoln's time. But I think we were still borrowing money from some other country. I don't remember what country that was, or bank or whatever. But they wanted America to be great, and they wanted America to be all it could be. And both of them wanted to make our own money, not somebody else's money. Federal Reserve is somebody else's money. It's the big banking industry's money, and the U.S. is borrowing, our government is borrowing this fake money and creating debt for us. But JFK wanted to stop that. And of course, Lincoln wanted to stop that. That was before the Federal Reserve. I think Teddy Roosevelt stabbed us in the back by creating going in on and signing in the Federal Reserve, which their charter's up, by the way. And if you look at all your brand new bills that are printed in 2017, 2018, I'm willing to bet you that you will not find a date newer than 2013 on those bills. They're still printing money even though it's illegal. It's unlawful, but it's also illegal for them to be printing money now. Their charter is up. It was up in 2013. It was the last year, but they're still printing money. We should be printing our own money. We should really be using gold and silver, but if you want a paper currency, we should be printing our own currency. So we'll leave Lincoln out of the picture a little bit because I really don't know the details of that. But JFK wanted to get us off Federal Reserve notes. And he was working on, if not already started, us printing our own money. And it got him assassinated. Lincoln did something similar. Well, Trump has to go with the flow, so to speak, to a degree, because he's not a dumb guy. He knows if he doesn't do what the puppet masters tell him to do, he's going to get himself killed. So he's going to do for America what he can do for America, and the rest of it, he has to do what the puppet masters tell him to do. He's got to do enough to keep himself alive. How much is he for the people, by the people? I don't know. I really don't know. But I'm starting to think Trump's actually not a bad guy, and maybe I should have voted for him. But, it's too late for that now. Will I vote for him for a second term? Probably. Do I believe in voting? Not really. Do do it anyways? Sometimes. David Ray's philosophy of voting is basically practicing authority one man over another. And he's got a point. I mean, Jesus, if you want to get religious about it, came to teach us not to practice authority one man over another. I mean, that's what Caesar was doing. And so practicing authority over another, say 25% of us, well, okay, say 25% of us, we'll go back to the homosexual thing. 25% of us are homosexual, but the 75% of us are not, okay? Or let's just even say 10% are homosexual, and 90% of us are not. But the other 15% of that 25 that I was thinking originally are gay-friendly. So there's laws on the books, say gay marriage, for example. The gays and the gay-friendlies, they all vote for gay marriage. But then the rest of us, the 75% of us who, which actually I probably would be more in the 15% category. I'm not sure where I stand on that. I'm kind of borderline. I probably wouldn't have voted on it. But, so the other 75% of the people are against gay marriage. And so they voted down. So now the people who are against gay marriage are practicing authority over the people who believe that it should be okay. That's one example. That's a very controversial one, so that's what kind of why I picked it. Here's one that more applies to me. Alternative health. Okay. Communist care, a.k.a. Obamacare, says that, you know, everybody has to pay for insurance. Otherwise, we're going to punish you and charge you taxes because you're not being a good citizen. Well, one, we're not citizens, we're sovereigns, and we should be free to make our own decisions and not have these dictators dictate us on what we're supposed to do. But people like me who don't believe in pharmaceuticals, who don't use insurance, who don't go to the doctors, who don't take pharmaceuticals, who take alternative health, we go to our own alternative health practitioners. We do our own homework. We study and we analyze and we grow our own medicine or buy our medicine from an herb shop, not a pharmacy. Why should we have to pay for these people to be allowed to go poison themselves legally? You know, that's practicing authority one man over another. They're dictating to me that I have to buy this insurance that I don't even use, that I don't even believe in. It's kind of against my religion, but I can't use the First Amendment to get out of it. Well, maybe I could. But really, I mean, it's against my religion because it's not God's medicine. It's evil. It's poison. You take one pill that causes 50 different side effects, and then you got to go take another pill for some of these side effects that create more side effects. And then you got to go take another pill for those side effects that create more side effects. It's a vicious cycle, and it's actually, it's evil. But nonetheless, you know, these people voted in Obamacare, I call it communist care, and force people like me to pay for their sick care when we don't even subscribe to it. We don't believe in it. So we're being punished Because we don't believe in that kind of medication. We don't believe in that kind of health care, or we call it sick care, because it really isn't health care. So that's practicing authority one man over another. And so if I voted for communist care and you didn't believe in it, you didn't use it, you didn't subscribe to it, you didn't want nothing to do with it, but I forced you to pay for it. And if you didn't pay for it, I punished you again by taxing you for it. How is that fair? How is that a free country? It's not a free country. That person is not free to subscribe to their own medication. They're not free to be who they are because we're forcing them to subscribe to our way. Now, the same goes in reverse. I'm anti all that stuff. But why should I force you to go away from Big Pharma? How should I be able to force you to go out and forage for your own herbs or go to an herb shop and buy herbs, vitamins, and minerals? I shouldn't be able to force you to do things my way. And therefore, you shouldn't be able to force me to do things your way. That's what this country was founded on. It's supposed to be a free country. So it's like voting is actually probably unconstitutional. It's unfree because it's forcing people who don't agree with you to agree with you. And so that's why a lot of people don't vote. That's why David Ray doesn't vote. It's why I contemplate voting. Two reasons why I why I feel that voting is not good. Three, really, that's one of them, but that's a new one. I didn't have that concept until David Ray came along and kind of woke me up to that. And that's really a Jesus concept. Jesus preached not to practice authority one man over another. So if you call yourself a Christian, then you shouldn't be voting either, according to Jesus. Now, the other reason not to vote is because most everything that's offered to us to vote on increases the size, the cost, extends the reach, and the power of government, which is the premise of this podcast. We do not want to increase the size, the cost, extent, and reach, and the power of government. We got way too much government. We don't want to give these clowns any more power. And really the other reason why I hadn't voted most of the time in the past is because I don't think it does any good. Personally, I think a lot of it's just a gimmick, a hoax. They want us to think that our vote counts. They want us to think that our opinions matter when they're going to do whatever the hell they want to do anyways, because we've already allowed them too much power. You know, it's like when I was going to vote for Ron Paul, I don't remember who my grandma voted for. But my grandmother was so concerned. She was so worried over me wasting my vote. She goes, "I don't want you to waste your vote. You know, your vote is so precious. It means so much." She was convinced that our vote counted. And I feel sorry for her. I mean, she's with God now, but... and she's in a much better place. God, I don't feel sorry for her for that. I am happy. Anybody who thinks death is a bad thing, I say, praise the Lord, they're gone away from this hellhole and they're in a better place, provided they didn't reincarnate and come back to this hellhole. But nonetheless, that's a different subject. Not that I believe in reincarnation. I really don't know. But if I reincarnated, I don't remember before. All I remember is here now. So I really don't know. But anyways, she was so worried that I was going to waste my vote by voting for Ron Paul. And, you know, I told her, I says, you know, that's who I believe in. If I voted for anybody else, I'd be wasting my vote. So you, I mean, if you're going to vote, vote for what you believe in. Vote for what you have passion for. Vote for what your heart desires, what you feel to be right. Now, if it's wrong, and you vote for something which you know to be wrong, then you got issues. You got problems. You either need to see a shrink, or you need a bullet in the head. And personally, I prefer you get some help first before we hang you from the highest tree. But, you know, I want to see good. I want to see good for the people by the people. And if you're not for the people by the people, you need to get, we need to get rid of you. You know, if you're not looking out for others, you're the problem. And we need to take you out. For example, I already got off topic, but I do that. When I was younger, I had two pit bulls, two different litters, same parents. The older one, she was awesome, one of the best dogs you could ever have. The younger one, something was wrong with her. We knew it. I mean, she just was not right. Not right in her head. She just acted weird. We had a feeling that when she got older, she was not going to turn out to be a good dog. We actually were kind of afraid she might turn on us. Her sister, on the other hand, wonderful. Best dog you could ever have. Same parents. Different litters. Both sisters. One was good, one was evil. And they knew it. We had a mutt also. And the mutt, she was kind of innocent. She was just kind of retarded. She was a good dog, sort of. But she's just a regular whatever. She was just there. She was a dog. I came home from school and found Nosy, that was the not so good pit bull, found her laying in the yard. No big deal. I jumped on my bicycle and went to go spy on this girl I had a crush on. Came back from doing that a couple hours later. Seen Nosy laying in the yard. Same place as she was before. See, I'm an analytical. I pay attention to details. And I know, you know, I remembered that she was in the exact same place. She was there laying exactly as she was before. And I was like, whoa, something's wrong with this picture. So I went over and poked her. She was hard as a rock. She was dead. Theory is that she attacked the mutt because the mutt was like the weaker link, if you will. She was the innocent one, if you will. We think that she attacked the mutt, and her older sister took her out. She could have turned on the sister, and the sister took her out. We don't know what happened. All we know is somebody killed Nosy, and it wasn't the mutt. I don't think it was the mutt. But anyway, so animals have this instinct, but for some reason we don't. You know, we have this instinct to kill the weak, not the evil. Animals have, well, animals have both instincts. I mean, Nosy was more or less evil. Her instinct was to kill the weak. Cushy was good. Her instinct was to kill the evil. Who died in this picture? The evil. So, what can we learn from that? We need to be like Cushy, protect the weak. Maybe not so much protect the weak, you know, because, you know, survival of the fittest is the strong shall survive. And we don't want necessarily weak offsprings, but at the same time, we don't want evil offspring either. And we've allowed evil to approach and overtake us. Just because evil is strong doesn't mean it's good. A lot of people, especially women these days, mistake evil for power, and, you know, evil and power is a good thing. You know, it's like we have this hunter-gatherer. We still have these roots within us about, you know, like the caveman days and the gladiator days where, the mighty, the strong, men are supposed to be the protectors and the alpha, and we're supposed to, you know, guard and protect. And women look for those things in guys. But women are rewarding the wrong qualities, and we as societies are rewarding the wrong qualities. We give people kudos for being evil because they come across as being strong and powerful, and we compliment that and say that's a good thing, and it's not a good thing. I mean, yes, being strong is good, but being good is good. Being good and strong is good. So we need to protect the innocent that are good. We need to, you know, go to back the strong that are fighting for the good. And we need to stand up against the evil and get rid of it. Get rid of it as much as possible. If we have to take them out like Cushy took out Nosy, so be it. But we just have to weed the evil out because the evil is overtaking us. And, you know, it's like the last revolution. We call ourselves 3%ers because it took 3% of the nation to free us the last time. I don't know how much that's true. That's what they say. Most people are, you know, busy living their lives, taking care of their children, trying to keep a roof over their head and food in their stomachs. And it's the rest of us who are the freedom fighters, the 3%ers, that are out there trying to protect those people and those people's freedoms to live their lives the way they see fit. And more people need to stand behind the 3%ers. More people need to stand behind the people that are standing up for their rights. You know, when the feds come in with guns and tell the Amish they're not allowed to sell all natural milk, we the people need to stand up to the government and say, that's not right. We want healthy milk. And even if we don't want healthy milk, they should be free to sell their healthy milk to people that want to buy their healthy milk. If I want to drink chemical pasteurized milk, fine, I'll go to the grocery store and buy chemical pasteurized milk. But if somebody else doesn't want to buy that stuff, why should they be forced to buy that stuff when we're supposed to live in a free country? Why are the Amish and other organic farmers being raided, being held at gunpoint, having chemical dyes put in their foods, having their stuff seized, taken away from them, taxed, fined, punished, because they want to sell something that's natural and healthy? That is un-American. When the Amish weren't paying taxes, we the people said, how dare those people? They should be paying taxes like the rest of us. And now the Amish have to pay taxes too. Just like the rest of us, good citizens. Just like the rest of us, slaves. Because we're a bunch of crabs in a bucket. Check it out. Get a big bucket and put a bunch of crabs in it, or even a box. Actually, you don't even have to go do this yourself. Go to a Hong Kong store. Find an Asian market in your area, the closest one you can find. I'm willing to bet you'll find some live crabs there. If not, go back, you know, call them, say, hey, you got some crabs? And then go down and visit, because most Asian markets, you'll find crabs, live crabs. And you'll see them in a box or a bucket. They won't even worry about supervising them. They won't worry about having some special cage or container to keep them in. Because they'll keep themselves in. The crab tries to climb out of that box. I mean, these crabs can be all the way filled to the top of the box. To the top. Crabs won't get out. Why? Because the crabs that are underneath the crabs that are on the top will continue to pull the crabs back into the box. And pull them, their brothers and sisters, to the bottom of the box. They'll drag their own kind to the bottom of the barrel. And that's basically what we do. We drag our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our people, to the bottom of the barrel. We're just like crabs. We need to stop doing that. We need to stop practicing that kind of behavior. We see somebody standing up for themselves. We see somebody doing something to better themselves, to better our community, to better their neighbors, to better our neighbors. We should compliment them. We should stand behind them. For example, when I worked at Sandbox, there was people there were backstabbing like crazy. And you couldn't go out and better yourself because somebody would get jealous of you because you're doing better than them. And they'd stab you in the back. They'd find some way to punish you or get you punished. That's why I quit. You couldn't think outside the box. You couldn't be a better person. You couldn't do better for yourself or for others, because somebody would get jealous because you're doing better than them. You're making them look bad because they didn't think about it first. They didn't do it. Instead of following in your footsteps, if these crabs in this box was like, hey, Joe Crab got out of the box. Let's follow Joe. Let's get out of this box and go to freedom. All the crabs would get out of the box and they'd be like running for whatever. And the people who was trying to keep them in the box would be like, oh, we got to do something different. We got to figure out how to keep these crabs in this box. They're escaping. But see, the government, they've figured out how to get us to keep each other in the box. Now, yeah, we should police ourselves, because if we don't, then that gives the government the excuse to do it for us. I mean, they've taken away our right to take the law into our own hands, because we are supposed to be the law. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a catch-22. How are we to be the law and to allow other people to be the law of themselves as well? Basically, there's one rule. As long as they're not causing harm to anyone, that means, oh, that's a touchy subject too, because if you say critters, then the vegans would be like, oh, well, you're killing animals for food, you're causing them harm, and you need to be punished. And according to their religion, well, that's the ethical vegans. Other vegans aren't so radical about it. But according to the ethical vegan religion, that would be so. But, you know, if you're not causing harm to an animal, with the exception of the means to feed yourself or others, then you're not doing anything wrong. If you're not causing harm to other sovereigns, in, you know, created by God, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights, if you're not causing harm to anybody, then you're not doing anything wrong. We have no reason to govern you. The only reason you need to be governed is if you're causing harm to someone. If you're going out and killing animals for fun and pleasure, not for food or clothing. I mean, we don't really need animal skins per se for clothing. But up north, that's what they do because it's colder up there. They need, you know, other products. Although, I mean, it's been proven that you can use other things. But, you know, certain things don't grow up there. They had to use animals, you know, to survive. Food and clothing. Our, you know, our ancestors used animals for food and clothing. Do we have to today? Maybe not. But, you know, are we causing harm to each other? That is what is lawful or unlawful. And that is what we should be talking about. Not what is necessarily legal. Now, what is legal, the lawful term of what is legal, is if you have a contract with someone to do a certain thing, like a marriage would be a contract. So, all right, if you wanted to have sex with whoever you want to have sex with, then it is lawful for you to go out and have sex with whoever you want to have sex with. But if you are in a marriage, even a relationship, a committed relationship, which is the same thing as a marriage, and you have a contract, whether verbal or written, to this person that you're going to be committed to them and only them, or even if you're in a poly relationship and you have a contract that you're going to be committed to those people and only those people, and then you go outside of that contract and sleep around with other people behind, you know, your people's backs, you're violating that contract, and therefore that is illegal because it's a contract that you have with someone saying that you're going to be faithful to them. And therefore, it is unlawful for you to sleep with somebody else because you broke your contract with the people or the person that you had your contract with that you're going to be dedicated to them. Now, if you say to that person, I don't want to be in this contract anymore, I want to break this contract, I'm not happy with you anymore, I'm not interested in maintaining this relationship anymore, or you say, I want to see other people, I cannot honor this contract anymore. I just can't. If you're honest about it and you say, I want to be out of this contract, and then you go and sleep around, then you're no longer being unlawful because you verbalized that you wanted to break this contract. You do not want to be in this contract anymore. And you work out a new contract, or you just go your separate ways. And then you would be lawful. That's an example of what's lawful versus legal. You know, legal is a contract between people saying that this is what you're going to do. There he is. So, but when you practice authority one man over another and you say, this is the law because I said so, and you have to do what I say because you need to respect my authority. Well, that's not legal or lawful. That's unlawful, whether you call it legal or not. But, yeah, so let's see what Ron Paul has to say. Once I find the phone number. Here we go. Hold for a brief silence.
The recently passed big spending budget deal's failure to generate significant opposition from the Tea Party has led some to pen obituaries for this once powerful movement. These commentators may have a point. However, few of them understand the true causes of the Tea Party's demise. The movement commonly referred to as the Tea Party arose in opposition to the 2008 bank bailout. The Tea Party grew as its focus shifted to opposition to President Obama's policy, particularly his stimulus spending bill, cap-and-trade legislation, and, of course, the health care plan Tea Party leaders successfully branded as Obamacare. In its early days, the Tea Party was equally opposed to big spenders in both parties. In fact, it was often harder on Republicans than on Democrats. Tea Party groups even backed primary challengers to Republican incumbents. Unfortunately, the Tea Party was quickly co-opted by the GOP. As a result, while Tea Party groups still oppose Republican policies, they began muting their opposition to all but the worst Republican politicians. Now that Republicans control the White House and Congress, Tea Party groups have even muted their opposition to the policies. This reinforces the tendency of Republicans to support spending bills backed by Donald Trump or George W. Bush that they would have fought tooth and nail if they were proposed by Barack Obama or Bill Clinton. The Tea Party's effectiveness as a force for fiscal conservatism was also crippled by the support of too many of its leaders and favored politicians for a hyper-interventionist foreign policy. Support for foreign interventionism logically requires support for huge military budgets, which conflicts with a commitment to fiscal conservatism. Some Tea Party-backed politicians tried to reconcile support for militarism and fiscal conservatism by claiming to be cheap hawks. The problem with this formulation is that the so-called cheap hawks accept the neoconservative premise that American exceptionalism justifies U.S. military intervention around the globe. This makes it impossible for them to resist the calls for increased military spending to ensure the United States has the ability to police the world in the name of democracy. Devotion to protecting the military-industrial complex from the budget acts leads defense hawks to cut deals with progressives to increase spending on both warfare and welfare. We saw this with the recent budget deal, where so-called fiscal conservatives defended a $65 billion increase in domestic spending because it was necessary to get the progressive support for an $80 billion increase in military spending. One cannot be both a budget hawk and a defense hawk. Fortunately, while the Tea Party is dead, or at least on life support, a relative similar movement is alive and growing. This is the Liberty Movement that grew out of my 2008 presidential campaign. Ironically, one of the first events of that movement was called a Tea Party. Unlike the Tea Party, the Liberty Movement does not just focus on domestic policy. It works to roll back government in all areas. Thus, the Liberty Movement is just as committed to ending unnecessary and unconstitutional wars and protecting civil liberties as it is to repealing Obamacare. The Liberty Movement leaders and activists also refuse to compromise their principles for the benefit of the Republican Party.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, February 26th. The recently passed big spending budget deal's failure to generate significant opposition from the Tea Party has led some to pen obituaries for this once powerful movement. These commentators may have a point. However, few of them understand the true causes of the Tea Party's demise. The movement commonly referred to as the Tea Party arose in opposition to the 2008 bank bailout. The Tea Party grew as its focus shifted to opposition to President Obama's policy, particularly his stimulus spending bill, cap-and-trade legislation, and, of course, the health care plan Tea Party leaders successfully branded as Obamacare. In its early days, the Tea Party was equally opposed to big spenders in both parties. In fact, it was often harder on Republicans than on Democrats. Tea Party groups even backed primary challengers to Republican incumbents. Unfortunately, the Tea Party was quickly co-opted by the GOP. As a result, while Tea Party groups still opposed Republican policies, they began muting their opposition to all but the worst Republican politicians. Now that Republicans control the White House and Congress, Tea Party groups have even muted their opposition to the policies. This reinforces the tendency of Republicans to support spending bills backed by Donald Trump or George W. Bush that they would have fought tooth and nail if they were proposed by Barack Obama or Bill Clinton. The Tea Party's effectiveness as a force for fiscal conservatism was also crippled by the support of too many of its leaders and favored politicians for a hyper-interventionist foreign policy. Support for foreign interventionism logically requires support for huge military budgets, which conflicts with a commitment to fiscal conservatism. Some Tea Party-backed politicians tried to reconcile support for militarism and fiscal conservatism by claiming to be cheap hawks. The problem with this formulation is that the so-called cheap hawks accept the neoconservative premise that American exceptionalism justifies U.S. military intervention around the globe. This makes it impossible for them to resist the calls for increased military spending to ensure the United States has the ability to police the world in the name of democracy. Devotion to protecting the military-industrial complex from the budget acts leads defense hawks to cut deals with progressives to increase spending on both warfare and welfare. We saw this with the recent budget deal, where so-called fiscal conservatives defended a $65 billion increase in domestic spending because it was necessary to get the progressive support for an $80 billion increase in military spending. One cannot be both a budget hawk and a defense hawk. Fortunately, while the Tea Party is dead, or at least on life support, a relative similar movement is alive and growing. This is the Liberty Movement that grew out of my 2008 presidential campaign. Ironically, one of the first events of that movement was called a Tea Party. Unlike the Tea Party, the Liberty Movement does not just focus on domestic policy. It works to roll back government in all areas. Thus, the Liberty Movement is just as committed to ending unnecessary and unconstitutional wars and protecting civil liberties as it is to repealing Obamacare. The Liberty Movement leaders and activists also refuse to compromise their principles for the benefit of the Republican Party.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
All right. I like how he threw in his advertisement there at the end. He was going real smooth there, and then he kind of stumbled on himself. But that's okay. I mean, Ron Paul should get some kudos and plug-ins for a lot of things. I don't know about his Liberty Movement all that well. I followed it a little bit, not a lot, probably not as much as I should. But the Tea Party started out a good thing. And, of course, it got corrupted, and now it's a disaster. It's kind of like welfare started out to be a good thing, and now it's not. It needs to be redone, if you will. Well, it's kind of like the Republicans and the Democrats used to be. I think they used to be a good thing. Not so much anymore. Libertarians used to be a good thing. They're starting to go downhill. This Liberty Movement, probably a good thing. Till it gets infiltrated, it's probably going to go downhill too. We, the people, need to start infiltrating the government instead of letting the government infiltrate our stuff and start fixing the problem. It's like he was saying, they voted for more spending to increase the size, the cost, extend the reach and the power of government. They should be voting no on that stuff. Why do we want to put ourselves more in debt for more government spending, more war? It's insane. It hasn't worked, you know, hasn't worked. It's not working. How do we expect that it's going to keep not working? I mean, or it's going to start working. It's not working. We're going downhill. More and more, faster and faster, and I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know what's going to happen. To be honest, I think we're destined for another war. But I think our government's got a plan for that. You know, it's just like all the other countries who try to have their own revolution. We stick our noses in it, and we police the world. It's like I mean, I'm not a big fan of Hussein, but, and I'm not sure how 100% this is true, but from what I understand, one of the reasons we attacked them in the first place, or wanted the excuse to attack them, was that Hussein was wanting to no longer trade oil in trade in the U.S. dollar, because the U.S. dollar is weak. It really has little to no value. And so Hussein wanted to get away from America and start trading in another currency, because in his mind, that other currency had more strength. Our dollar was weak. Our dollar still is weak. But instead of trying to do things to strengthen our dollar, our government says, you're evil, we're going to kill you, and we're going to attack you. If you don't do things our way, that's the way our government works anyways. Like, I'm not sure this is 100% true about Hussein, but past predicts future. I mean, that's typically how our government works. If you don't do things our way, you're evil, we're going to kill you. And like in our last political podcast, what's the definition of terrorism? Using force to achieve a political means. Our government does that on a daily basis, and they call other people terrorists. Does that make any sense? I mean, look up the definition of terrorism. And then look and see and compare those words to what the government is doing. I don't know. I just don't know anymore. I think we're destined for another war. But, you know, it's kind of like chess or checkers even. The people in power aren't going to be the ones that we're going to be fighting. They have their chess pieces. And if we stand up and we revolt, they're going to bring in whoever it is that they want to bring in to fight us. It's like our people are in another country fighting somebody else's war. It's not our war. We're fighting somebody else's war. Why? Why are we doing that? Okay. But that's a different subject. Trying to stay on point. When we finally stand up and we say, we've had enough, we're not going to take it, who are we going to be fighting? Probably not our own government, right? We will be fighting our own government, but the powers that be are going to bring in other people to fight us. Because our own people, a lot of them, our own government, our own military, isn't going to kill their own people. Some of them will, but a lot of them won't. They'll be like, whoa, I'm not going to kill my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to kill my mom and dad. You know, I'm not going to kill my neighbors. I'm not going to kill my fellow Americans. So they'll bring in somebody else to do it. But that's what it's coming down to. And we can try and get our country back and do it in a peaceful manner, try and do it in a Gandhi way. But we're walking a thin line. It's almost too late for that. It may already be too late for that. I don't know. But if we don't do something soon, it's going to get bad. It's going to get ugly. That's going to get ugly in one or two ways. We're going to have to fight, and it's going to be a bloody fight. Or we're going to have to surrender, and it's going to be a bloody surrender. So either way, it's going to be bloody. It's already getting bloody. they, like it says, you know, they come in, they raid people who don't do what they think that we should be doing, even though we're the sovereign people. We should be telling them what to do, not the other way around. But if we don't do what they say we have to do, they come in and raid us, punish us, kill us. Other countries don't do what they say that they want them to do. They go in, they raid them, they punish them, they kill them. And we call ourselves Christians or God-fearing people, whatever your religion is, whoever your God is. If you believe in justice, it's kind of like the Buddhist religion. They believe that it doesn't matter if there's a God or not. It doesn't matter if God is good or evil. We should still do good. We should still be doing what's right because it's right. Do what's right when it's right because it's right. Love and kindness. We should be practicing love and kindness, not authority over each other. Granted, we're going to have some authority, and we're going to have some abuse of power, but we've gone way too far. Way too far. We've gotten way out of control. Maybe it's the end of the world, according to Bible thumpers. You know, personally, I think we have another 500 to 1,000 years to go. But I mean, we have another, even if we do have another 500 to 1,000 years to go, or maybe 10 years, whatever the case may be, let's try to make it a good 10 to 1,000 years. Let's stop with this evil. Stop punishing people because they don't think the way you think. They don't believe the way you believe. They don't love the way you love. Let them be free to be who they are. Let's quit hating our neighbors. Let's go back to having this free country that this country was founded on. Let's spread love and kindness instead of hate and fear. And let's try to get this country back to the idea and standards that we used to have, that people, that the reputation that we still somewhat have. This used to be the land of opportunity. And it's not so much that anymore. So, yeah. I guess that concludes the ScrapGov Scrap podcast. Check out Lenny Ladner at ladnerforcongress.com. That's LADNER for congress.com. And ScrapGovScrap.com. While it's directed to his website. And, you know, let's get out there and start voting no on anything that increases the size, the cost, extent, the reach, and power of government. If you believe in voting, vote no on anything that will give us less freedom, less liberty, which is pretty much everything. Anything they give us to vote on increases the size, the cost, extends the reach and power of government in one form or another. Let's get this country back. Let's get this country back in shape. Let's get this country back in order. It's chaos out there, people. It's living hell for a lot of people, especially if you want to do what you want to do. You know, if you want to live like this is a free country, they'll punish you. And people don't stand behind that freedom anymore. They stand behind the punishing. Oh, if we can't be free, they can't be free either. They need to be punished. No. If they're trying to be free, you should stand behind them and say, hey, I want to be free too. Let's be free together. Yeah. Stand up. Unite. United we stand. Divided we fall. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. So anyways, yeah, scrapgovscrap.us is where you'll find this podcast in the future, if not .com. And for the time being, it's at Monday evenings at 5 o'clock. And probably it's going to get moved to Sunday or Saturday at 5, but or another time, who knows? It may die off. But we're going to give it a go. This is number 2 podcast for Scrap Gov Scrap. And feel free to call in. Phone number is going to be on the website. And yeah, I guess that's it for now. We're already at about 2 hours, 1 hour and 45 minutes almost. So, oh, we do have international numbers. So if you want to call in from another country, 63 different countries you can call in. Because, hey, this isn't just for our country. This is for your country, too. I mean, the Philippines. Who dictates and runs and owns the Philippines? The U.S. And their country is just as bad, if not worse, than ours. And there's other countries that our government runs and dictates. You know, there's other countries that are just as bad, if not worse, than our country. And people say, love it or leave it. I love it. Let's fix it. You know? What does the Bible say? There will be no place to hide. We can't run from the problem. We have to face it. We have to fix it. No more running. No more hiding. No more letting it be somebody else's problem. Let's come together. Let's stand together. And nip this in the bud. All right. My name's Kano, and that's all I got to say. Actually, that's not how I was supposed to end this. Let's see. My name's Kano, and I support this message. And that's all I got to say about that. All right. Good night.